Been doing a series called Church Realigned, and we're talking about how there's some things that we may need to get back into alignment, and we've been discussing those things over the last few weeks. The first week we talked about the fact that the really to realign is we talked about how we want to dream, right? We want to dream of what would it be like if the church was exactly the way Jesus intended the church to be. What would that look like? What would that be like? And then the first thing we said was in the first week was this, was that if Jesus were to have his way in the church, what a novel concept. If Jesus were to have his way in the church, the number one thing that he would talk about would be love and how we love each other and how we treat each other and how he said, there's no greater command than to love God and love others. That's the greatest command that we can have is to love God and love other people. Say, point to heaven, say, I'm going to love God. Point to your neighbor and you'll say, I'm going to love other people. In Jesus' name. That's right. We love God and we love other people. It's the first commandment. And we talked about this diagram. If you want to put our beautiful diagram. We talked about, it says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but in actions and in truth. And we talked about this diagram of how my diagram was a lot better, but we just used this one that I drew. But we talked about Sad Sally. Remember Sad Sally? Everybody, hey, say, hey, Sally.
Hey, Sally.
Man, after 3 weeks, I hope Sally's doing better because we've been talking about her for 3 weeks. But Sad Sally and her little baby and her sorry ex-husband who doesn't pay child support. So Sad Sally and her sorry. Anyway, we did that whole thing. But Sad Sally, praise to God. God, help me, right? God hears, that stick figure Jesus, God hears the prayer. And meanwhile, Gail over here, we talked about Gail, say hi Gail.
Hi Gail.
We didn't say hi Jesus, say hi Jesus.
Hi, Jesus.
You probably need to say them to everybody. So we see Gail over here and she's praying desperately, God use me, I want to be used by you, right? And so through direction of God, through her prayer, God use me, direction comes to Gail, and Gail through obedience. It's one thing to receive instruction and direction from God. It's another thing to be obedient to God. And obedience, we did a whole long story of how Gail goes and helps Sally. And does God answer Sally's prayer or does Gail? It's God through Gail to her, right? So that's what we're called to be. How do you love? We love not just in word, but we love in what we do. We love in how we appropriate that into our lives, right? And obedience to God. And so we also talked last week about how it says that we're supposed to, how that plays out in the local church, how that plays out with each other. We talked about the fact that that most of the time God answers our prayer through others, right? And we talked about when you understand that church is not about you, when you understand that church is about us, right? That we come to church not just to receive blessings, but we also come to church to be a blessing. It changes the way you walk in the doors. It's not like, oh, here I am. Everybody notice me here. Here I am. It's there you are. And God, what could you be leading me to do? Maybe an encouraging word. Maybe talking to somebody. Maybe meeting somebody new for the first time. So meeting somebody new, right? What God, what do you have for me? How can I be a blessing to the people around me? Listen, and what we need to realign is this. Like, church is not just so you can get your worship on. It's part of it. Church is a part of a body, a group of people. And us becoming relationship-driven, because I say it like this, listen, discipleship doesn't happen best from up here. As much as I would like to believe that, it's not true. Discipleship happens best in relationships and people, person on person. Iron sharpening iron, right? It happens best in relationship. You will get some discipleship from the pulpit, absolutely. And on those Thursday nights. But, another plug, and on Saturday. But you will grow as a people because, listen, I don't know if you know, but as our church grows, I can't be personally involved with everybody in everybody's situation. Listen, this is a deal where we have to grow together as we grow. We have to develop community. We have to have people that are iron sharpening iron, praying for one another, feeling comfortable praying for each other, being there, texting. It's so easy anymore now to send an encouraging text, right? Pick up the and go old school. Pick up the phone and actually call somebody. I know there's numbers. There's not just letters on your phones. There's numbers. Like you can actually dial their number, and people's voices come through. It's amazing that you can actually talk to somebody. I know. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's this thing they invented last night. It's a cool thing. This morning, I want to switch it up a little bit, and I think this is going to be, as far as the instruction that I felt like I actually heard this morning, this is going to be the last one on this realigned thing. I'm going to take this into a different direction next week. But I want to speak on kingdom, church realigned, kingdom influence. Kingdom influence. The church is called to have kingdom influence. So let me just start it out by saying this. How many of you, this is going to date everybody, by the way. How many of you knew what you were doing on November 22nd, 1963? Is there anybody who remembers what they were doing? You do. You remember what you were doing? What were you doing? Wait, time out. Peter, what were you doing? Do you remember?
I was in science class, seventh grade.
Where were you?
Watching TV.
Right as it happened. How many of y'all remember what happened? Where's ours? Yeah, just say it out. Kennedy was shot. You remember where you were in that moment. All right, the next generation. How many of you remember where you were on January 28, 1986? Yeah.
I was in Georgia Tech band room.
Georgia Tech band room, yeah.
I was skipping school and I watched it on TV.
You were skipping school and you watched it on TV. Yeah. Watching on in Daytona, watching on television.
We were in science class. Right?
Yeah. Oh, they were together in science class. You know what? We all remember where we were because that's the day I remember where I was. That was the day that the Challenger exploded. Well, the biggest tragedy, we lost a school teacher, and it was crazy. And you remember, like, we were the unstoppable, the space shuttle was the answer, right? And all of a sudden it exploded, and we watched it explode. And then obviously, the next generation. And all of us, September 11th, we all know where we were. If you were alive to know, to be there, remember that. And then, most recently, we all remember where we were when we heard that Trump had defeated Clinton. Like, we went, really? No, easy. We went, really? Like, we went, that's a thing? Like, even those who supported him went, really? That happened. We all remember those things. Those were like defining moments of our lives, right? That we remember when that happened. And then there's the personal things. I remember when I was a kid and my dad and I would go fishing, and my dad always outfished me because he was just a great fisherman. But I remember the one day that I outfished my dad. Like, I remember that day when I was like 13 years old that I outfished my dad. I remember our vacation week when we went on vacation and another family, some of our best friends, and we rented a houseboat up on Lake Lanier, and we spent the whole week together on I remember those things and those vivid memories. I remember when my dad died suddenly when I was 16. I remember the day I committed my life to Jesus that changed my life forever on the Tuesday before Good Friday in 1991. I remember that day. I remember the day I preached my first sermon on a Sunday night service. It was called The Wild Ride. Talking about living wild for Jesus. I didn't realize where that would take me. I remember the day I met my wife. I remember the day when I saw her walking by and I looked at her and I said, My boss was right there next to me. He says, "Look, what about her, Dave?" And I said, "Well, she needs to drop that zero and get with a hero or something corny." I remember that day because she was with some like you know, big muscle, pretty boy guy, you know, whatever. So she, yeah, absolutely. So I remember those days. Those days are embedded into your memory, right? They influenced me. They affected me. But what about those people? The people who believed in you. A person who saw that thing in you and believed in you. That believed something that maybe nobody else ever saw. But they stood by you and they believed in you. They encouraged you. And then there's the bully. You remember the bully? I remember standing next to the bully. And then after that, not remembering what happened and being on the floor, lying there next to the bully as he had punched me in the face. Those mean words, those encouraging words, we remember those things. Those things stick to us. Maybe for you, it was that teacher who said, you know, some of the things I hear, you know, from some teachers, you know, you're just not going to, there's no chance that you're going to pass this. Like right off the bat, just speaking words and speaking stuff. And as the teacher says, what? As you hear these things, or maybe just adult figures in your life, they speak words of, you know, all the stuff that can happen. But then there's those people who speak life and encouragement. They believe in you. Remember all of those things. We are influencing and being influenced every single day of our lives. For good or for bad, we're being influenced. But we as believers have a charge. We as believers have a charge to influence and to bring kingdom influence into our world. Sociologists say that everyone, even the most introverted person, will influence 10,000 people in their lifetime. You have influence. Whether you're the extrovert or the introvert, you have influence. Some of us, when we think about the word influence, we think about the you have influence over other people. Some of us may think about positional influence. And while that's true, position, really, if you listen to John Maxwell, he'll say positional leadership is one of the weakest forms of leadership, actually, because you have that position. And then you can influence. But true influence comes from heart to heart, people to people. So just because, let me break that misnomer, just because you say, well, you're the pastor. Well, yeah, I have influence. Because I have position, you have influence. Your boss, because he has position, has influence, right? People in authority have power, have that influence because of their influence. But it doesn't mean that you don't have influence. Just because you don't have a position doesn't mean you're not going to have influence. Because you influence the people that you work with every single day. But our job is to influence. 1 Timothy 4:12 says this. Don't let anyone, he's talking to Timothy, a young pastor. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set the example. He's talking to a young minister. And he tells them, even though you're young, and most people will look down on you, listen to this. Even though people will look down on you, he says, listen, don't think that you're not going to have influence. He says, but be an example. You can be an example. But he tells you how, in speech, and in conduct, and in love, and in faith, and in purity. See, so neither your age nor your position can restrict your influence that you have. You can set the example anywhere you are. Anywhere you are. So how can you, maybe you're not the CEO, Maybe you're not the boss. Maybe you're not the... How can you influence? I'm so glad you came this morning. I'm so glad you asked that question. I'm going to talk about two different ways that you can influence this morning. The first way is in what you say. Hooray. Watch this. This is a semi-well-known scripture, familiar to some of us. Ezekiel chapter 37. Watch this. He says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. The bones were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them,'" everybody say, "say."
"Say."
"Say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and I will, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied and I commanded, as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise and a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied, as he commanded me, and breath entered them and came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army." It's interesting that God could have done this all alone. God could have, we've seen God do it before. He breathed the breath of life, right, into a big hunk of mud and created life, right? We've seen this before. But God says no. He says, "Ezekiel, I want you to speak life into these dry bones. I want you to be my voice into that situation." And it's interesting that God didn't do it, quote unquote, himself, but he used somebody to open their mouth and prophesy breath, prophesy life, speak life into somebody else. You and I have the ability to speak that life, as Toby Mac says. Speak life, right? Speak the life of God into somebody's life. You don't know. Listen, your words, we've been taught it for years. Especially if you were in the charismatic camp. We've taught it for years. Your words have power, and they do, over myself and over others. Your words are powerful. Your words can affect things. Listen to what it says in Ephesians. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but it is what is," watch this, "what is helpful for building others up according to their need." Building others up according to their need, right? That's what we're called to do, that it may benefit those who, what? Listen. Like, we're called to be people who speak life into other people. We're called to build people up with our mouths, with what we say to other people. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18 says this: "The words of the reckless pierce like swords." Isn't that true? How many of you have been pierced like swords by the words of reckless people who just out of their mouth just say stuff? How many of you have been guilty of using your words like swords that pierce other people? So have I. "But the tongue of the wise brings healing." Don't you want to be a vessel of God that brings healing everywhere you go with what you say? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but hard words stir up anger." What you say matters. Proverbs 16, 24 says this. It's not up there. Don't look. Kind words are like honey. I love honey. Honey's good stuff. "Sweet to the soul and healthy for the body." Kind words. What you say. Healthy for your body and to other body. A person's word, Proverbs 18:4 says, "A person's word can be life-giving water." Life-giving water. How many of y'all have been to a place where you're just like, you know something's wrong, but you not just don't know quite what it is, and then thank God I have people in my life. David, you just need to drink water. How many of y'all do just are not the water people? You're just like, okay, praise God, more and more. So I feel you. But you know what? Like, there's something about it. The other day, I was so like, I felt like, am I hungry? Am I what? I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm not thinking clearly. And I went to the store and got a big old thing of water, and I just chugged that water. And I went, huh, I feel fantastic. Like, Jesus is Lord again. Like, you know, like, you feel great about life. You feel great about, like, your body's going, finally, right? Your words can have that kind of effect on other people. You can have that kind of effect when you speak to other people. Our words. Like, as I was preparing this message, I thought, you know, like this isn't natural. You know what's natural? Like, meanness seems to be natural. Like, cruelness seems to be natural. Even in our sarcasm, sometimes we got to be careful with our sarcasm. Or some people say just sarcasm's just of the devil always. I don't totally disagree with it. Because sarcasm can be tearing and degrading, and you just don't know how those words are going to come off to somebody, right? Like our jokes, like when we joke with people, it seems to be tearing down. It just got real quiet. We have this thing that we do when you go on, when you finally go on a mission trip with us. And what we do a thing called Circle of Life. And in Circle of Life, how many of y'all have been involved with the Circle of Life here? Hope. Excellent. Excellent. And I will say this, everybody, I had somebody, we just did one in our leadership team. We're starting to do that in our leadership team. And I remember the person said, I just want you to know I don't cry. I went, okay. Because I've done this too long. And so what we do is we go around the room and we talk. We say like something that that person's encouraged us about or something. Just we speak life over them. What they've meant to us, what their example has meant with us, all kind of stuff. And it's, if you've ever been involved with it, you know how healing it is. You know how restoring it is when people speak life over you. Like, and I thought about, you know, we only usually tell people how great we always think they are at their funeral. Like, oops, too late. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if people are listening into their funeral, but I don't know. They're like, wow, I never knew that you thought about me like that. Wow, that's... That would have been really cool to know when I was there. But the idea that we can speak life into other people's lives. You can actually tell people how you feel about them before they go to heaven. You can tell people what impact that they've had on your life while you're here. It's important that we build each other up with our words, what we say. If you guys, any person who's been married long enough, like you know that you need to tell your wife. Husband, you need to tell your wife that you love them. Some of us have this, you know, this idea, well, you know, I told you when we got married, and if it ever changes, I'll let you know. No, that can't, that's not work. Like, yeah, I never said I didn't, you know. But like life, speaking life. My wife sent me a text this week, and we're just having one of those days. And it wasn't just the, hey, I'm thinking about you. It was like in depth and kind and super kind. I was like, oh, like made my day. Aww. But it's words. You understand, like your words have power. And you can also text. Those words in your text have power. When you speak kindness and love and encouragement, hey, listen, next time God like puts somebody on your heart, shoot them a text. Hey, man, I was just thinking about you, just praying for you today. Instead of going, oh, yeah, they're pretty cool. Next. Like, stop what you're doing. We're so in a hurry. Stop what you're doing. You don't have to pick up the phone and call like we talked about earlier. Just shoot them a text. Hey, I was thinking about you. I just want to know, you know, I'm for you. God loves you. Whatever's on your heart. Just reach out. Build each other up. And let me tell you, as the days get crazier, amen? As the days get crazier, we as people of faith need to band together like nobody else, like never before. Right? And we need to be there for each other. Encourage one another. The Bible says, encourage one another daily while it's called today so that you won't fall into the temptations of sin. Building each other up and encouraging them is part of what we're called to do as believers. When you find somebody that's special in your life, tell them why. Tell them, speak that out. Tell them what they mean to you. Tell them how they've encouraged you. It's amazing. You could be exactly what that person needed at that moment. You could be exactly what that person needed. With depression in our culture so high, listen, like we're supposed to be, you can bring living water to people by what you say. The second thing is what you say and in our actions. And in our actions. James chapter 2. This is James. It's tough, but right. He says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith, interesting word, claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and be well fed, but does nothing about their physical need, what good is it? Ouch. Let that settle for a second. In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But some will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Jesus said it like this. He says, you'll know them by their fruit that they produce. You'll know them by the fruit that they produce. Are you saved by your works? No. But what you believe should affect, I say like this, what you think, what you say, and what you do. Your faith should affect, not just on Sunday. It should affect you everywhere, every part of your life, every part of your day. Like, your faith should be expressed in you meeting some kind of need in others. Your faith should affect how you interrelate with other people on a physical way. Like, you should act out what you believe. He says, and you know, we've talked about like faith and works, right? These works that we think should be an outpouring of us as we're as believers. Like Jesus, and to have that, thank you. And to have that, you're going to have to develop the mindset of selflessness. That it is not about you. Not about you. It's about others. It's you living your life for others. It's not about you just having your needs met. And I've said it before. God said it first. He said, God told Abraham, I'll bless you so that you can be a blessing. And we've talked about this. I'm going to just keep saying it. Like your gifts that you have, you're a teacher, evangelist, you're a craftsman, you're whatever you have. It's not just for you. The fruit of peace, patience, kindness is the fruit that you offer to other people. It's not, is it for you? Yeah, but mostly, how should it affect? Others. Yeah. You know how calming it is to have a person of peace around you? I can't tell you, when I was visiting with my aunt this past week, I was like, gosh, my faith is getting built. Just because I was around her. But you offer your gifts for others. God has blessed us. Just the fact that you're in the USA, you're blessed. You're blessed. So what can you do? You can take somebody out to lunch. You can pay somebody's bill when you're out to eat, or their electrical bill. You can show just showing kindness. You can help a person who's struggling with their groceries at the grocery store. You can do it in major ways. We've had things in this church. People have given away cars in our church. People have given away, they've done all kind of incredible. You guys are incredible. And you're saying, like, why are you talking? We're already really good at this. This should be the staple of who we are. So we don't preach always to our weaknesses. A lot of times we preach to our strengths so that we can be better than we already are. What would it look like in our community if people goes, I don't know about that Jesus, but those people at Hope Church, they're like a different breed of people. They like help. They're like a part of you know what? I love what William Davis says. William Davis says, he goes, I just want to be part of the solution. That's a great way to live. I just want to be part of the solution. How can God use me to be a part of the solution? Love that attitude. And if you know William, he's part of the solution. Good book. If you want to be stirred up in this stuff, it's a book by Bob Goff called Love Does. It's a great book. My wife's like hero of life is Bob Goff. But Bob Goff, in that book, he tells story after story after story of extraordinary things. And he doesn't, and everybody always, another good book. Thank you, Rachel. She's gonna help me. But he tells story after story in these books of incredible acts. He tells this story. He tells the story of being, and everybody looked at their watch. he tells story after story. And he told this one story of how this guy, I don't have time to tell the story. Read the book. It's really cool. But basically, he opened up his whole home. He had a home on the beach because he was a lawyer, a very successful lawyer. He opened up his home on the beach and had the wedding and the reception of a total stranger for free in his home as a blessing. Just did it. How about that? It's a great book. It's a great read. All right. I'm going to tell the story and we'll be done. We're called to influence. We're called to influence in what we say, and we're called to influence in how we live, in our actions. So I was at Bojangles. I was looking for a good healthy meal. So I was with Bojangles with Tyrone. It was Tyrone's fault. I'll blame him. And by the way, they have some excellent pimento cheese. It's like, you can get pimento cheese, chicken biscuit. That is messed up and delicious all at the same time. That is unbelievably good. So anyway, we're at Bojangles. Long story short, we're just sitting there and noticed that the owner, you know how you can tell, like, the owner's there because, you know, everybody's... everybody's being nice. But also she's interacting. She's very, she was a really good, she's obviously a very good owner. Super kind. And super encouraging to her employees. That's part of the long story. But anyway, short story. So Tyrone goes, he goes, you want to go pray for that lady? I was like, yeah, let's go do it. And so we walked over, and she was obviously in a meeting with somebody else. Totally interrupted her meeting. And we said, hey, in Bojangles they have a Bible out front. And they're playing Christian music with the words in the Bojangles. And I said, can we pray with you? We want to pray over this place and bless this place and, pray for you as the owner. And she goes, yeah, that would be great. And so we did, right there in the middle of God, Bojangles, and all their customers, all like six of them or whatever. And so we got up and we stood, grabbed hands, like we just all went old school. Like, grabbed hands and we prayed. We prayed God's blessing on that building. That God would bless their finances. Bless this place. And God, let it be a light in this community. Right? We finished praying. She began to talk about. She goes, you do not know, didn't she? She goes, you do not know what this meant to me today. She goes, this business, she owns this one in Town Lake. She owns one in Hickory Flat. She owns one in Jasper, Hickory Flat, and what's the community right next to Hickory Flat? Holly Springs. And she owns one in South Carolina. She says in all those places, they have a Bible displayed, and they play their music, and they're out, you know, they're Christian people, obviously Christians. She says, I haven't had any pushback except this one right here in Town Lake. Said it had a guy come in, got his food, went and sat down. This is what she said. He said he got up, took all of his food in an anger, just threw it away. He said, I can't eat with this crap playing. I said crap in church. That's the way she told it to me. I don't know if he used different language. Crap. He said, I can't eat. Threw it away, walked out the door. She said she's had complaints about the Bible like never before in this community. Right here in Woodstock. As she's telling me, as we prayed for her, she starts just tearing up. She goes, you don't know what battle we've been fighting for this place right here. So hopefully you all go eat Bojangles today. But she says, you don't know. She said, and she went on, she did the whole spiel of how great Bojangles was. She said, we make our biscuits every day. Any of our biscuits are over 25 minutes old. So they're all hand-rolled in the back. They're all hand-breaded. She told me everything. I feel like I could go work at Bojangles now. But she said, you don't know. Because two people stopped what they were doing, felt the leading of the Lord to go pray for the owner of Bojangles. We could have said, she's probably really busy. You know who she was meeting with, as a matter of fact? She was meeting with her marketing person to figure out how to build up the business. Like, incredible timing. You just don't know what your obedience to God in that triangle, you don't know what your obedience is the answer to prayer for some person. If nothing else, yeah, we prayed and we blessed it, but if nothing else, she knows that God was thinking about her and wanted to encourage her that she was on the right track. Amen. So if you see Bojangles in the, you know, next couple of weeks, you'll know why. Because it made me mad, I'll be honest. She said, we made her day. Amen. Worship team, if you can come on up. What has God called us to? What if, and this is my final statements on this series, what has God called us to at Hope Church? What has God called you to in your own personal life? What part of that pyramid can you be to fulfill what God's answer to somebody's prayer? Amen. Could you do that King of Kings song again? That would be really great. I love that song, by the way. Because it is the gospel. Our job is to not just have regular influence, but have kingdom influence. And you do that by what you say. Maybe your coworker doesn't know the Lord. Maybe they need an unawkward conversation that only you can have with them. A non-churchy conversation. Amen. Maybe, what if the church was no longer the church of we're against this, we're against this, we're against this, and we're against this. Let me tell you all the stuff we're against. What if we were the church that said, hey, God loves you. God wants to change your life, so rock your world, that everything that He created you to be, you will be that to the extreme. What if we were those people who spoke life into other people's life? What if we were those people that when I love it. Somebody was telling me, we're talking about some of the drug problems in our cult, in our county. And I'll say, I was proud enough to say, you know what? Most of our drug rehab places are Christian-based in Cherokee County. And we're doing good stuff. The church, the people of God are doing great stuff. But as we do this song one more time, this is what we're all about. We're about pushing the kingdom forward. That people's lives can be restored. Your life, my life, and the people around us. Like that, how we sing about how God resurrected me. That can be your coworker. That can be the person you're next to. That can just be the words out of your mouth that goes, that they go, you know, I had this preconceived idea of what Christians were. But then, you know what? Then I met this guy. Then I met Mike Jordan. And I went, you know, I thought Christians were a different way. Now, I see that a little differently. Because you met one person. Let's all stand together. Kingdom influence. As we do this song, this is the gospel in song form. Amen? We're all going to do it together and we'll be dismissed. Let's just worship the Lord. Amen? And let God do a work in you during this song. Amen? And maybe this song is not just for you. It's for the person that you're around.
Gospel.
God, we thank you. We thank you, God, for your gospel. God, we thank you, God, for the truth. God, we thank you, God, that through you we are restored, God. God, we are restored to the Father by the blood of Jesus. And God, we thank you, God, that your life lives in us, God. And God, we thank you, God, the Spirit of God lit the flame for the church. God, we trust, God, in you, in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. We've been saying it the whole series. Say, I am anointed in Jesus' name. Say it again. Say, I am anointed to go about and do good and to heal all those who are oppressed of the devil. In Jesus' name. Say, I am anointed in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go and be the church this week. Amen. Be a blessing everywhere we go.